Module 2, developing your program. I hear a lot of excuses and reasons why speakers struggle or don't think they can make it. They make assumptions about what the speaking business is like and reasons why they aren't getting booked. For example, I have to have a bureau represent me. I need to have a book. They aren't returning my phone call. They don't have any money. I need a better website, marketing video, or a flyer. While some of these statements may have relevance later down the road on booking higher paid speaking engagements, do not focus on them right now. They are common speaker myths that should not be allowed to get in your way as you get started. To get started or to grow further, you need belief in what problem you solve and an incredible presentation to share that message. You will never get booked as a speaker until you first have a great, engaging presentation that helps the audience solve problems. Your presentation gets booked, not you. That is, unless you are a famous speaker, the likes of Tony Robbins, Les Brown, John Maxwell, and more. I would encourage you to have two or three programs eventually, but let's start with getting your first program solidified and nailed solid. Chase one squirrel at a time. Chase more than one squirrel and you won't catch any. Focus on just one. I have found that the most beginning speakers chase squirrels and shiny objects all over the place. Then they blame circumstances and wonder why they were not successful. It comes down to focus. Follow one course until successful. Focus. Later in this module, we will go in more depth on how to design your presentation, both as an outline and in aesthetic appearance. I will also provide you with tips that will help you differentiate yourself from other speakers in your field. Let's be clear here. Your program is what you speak on, and it articulates your purpose for speaking. Your purpose should be the problem you are helping audience participants solve. Module 1. Your actual program includes several important components, such as a presentation title, a description, and at least two learning outcomes. All of this information should fit onto one page and also include a short speaker biography, a professional headshot, contact information, a few clients, if available, some client testimonials, if available, and a link to your website, if available. Most commonly, this is referred to as a speaker one page. Consider it the same as your information sheet that gives a conference organizer or meeting planner initially what they need to consider you for speaking. And don't worry for right now, because whatever you do not have, you will eventually get by speaking pro bono a few times. I'll explain this in much more detail shortly. Inside the vault, you will find several examples of speaker one pages so that you have an idea what great ones look like. Whether someone is inquiring with me about a speaking opportunity, or I am submitting a call for programs or request for proposal, these elements in my speaker one page are always required. Note, call for programs, or an RFP, are defined as what conference organizers announce when they are seeking speaker submissions. Commonly, these are for educational sessions, not keynotes. These phrases might also be called call for speakers or call for presenters. I have never been asked to speak where at least a presentation title, description, and bio were not needed up front. Having these elements available immediately and up front sets you apart, makes you appear professional, and saves you considerable amounts of time because you already have it prepared. I can submit a conference call for programs within 15 minutes because I already have my presentation content available. Your program description should always be tailored for the industry and audience you are speaking. If you are speaking at a conference and they have a theme, tweak your program title and description to fit. In fact, I have had numerous occasions where a conference theme was set around my keynote title. The attendees likely did not know this, but the meeting planner or conference organizer loved me for it. When you tweak your presentation title and description, you do not have to change considerably much content, hence the word tweak. If more than a tweak was needed, I would call it a new keynote. All you need to do is adjust it ever so slightly so that the person reviewing your proposal feels as though your presentation is relevant for their audience. Your goal is to make them feel that way and say to themselves, "Wow, this presentation is exactly what we're looking for." Here's an example. I recently was encouraged to apply for a call for speakers announcement at a prestigious national conference. After doing quick research on both their association and the event itself, I tailored my common leadership presentations around both the conference theme and the industry itself. I simply took 10 minutes to review their website, and I wrote down common buzzwords and reflected on what I felt would most appeal to the people reviewing my presentation. With this information in mind, I made a few simple tweaks to tailor my presentation descriptions and submitted them online. I knew my proposal would be compared to dozens of other submissions. Long story short, I heard back 2 weeks later that two of my programs were selected. And here's a speaker tip. When submitting call for speakers, I recommend you submit several different presentations. Do not submit just one. I recommend you submit at least three. However, if you do not have several programs yet, that's fine. Start with one. But just keep in mind that down the road, you will need to create additional programs. Here's another example. I shared this same call for speakers announcement with my speaker mastermind group. Several of them applied for this same conference. A few weeks later, I received an email from one of my mastermind members who speaks specifically to that type of industry. Surprisingly, they were denied. This person was frustrated and was inquiring with me why. I asked if they tailored their presentation for the conference or if it was one of their common programs also listed on their website. What do you think their answer was? You likely guessed right. Their submission had not been tailored whatsoever. They took the quick and easy approach and submitted their same presentation off their website without tailoring it for the unique conference theme. The presentation reviewers likely recognized this lack of attention and effort as well. Whether you are submitting a call for programs or they are contacting you with an inquiry, tailoring your program goes a long way. It shows you care and you are willing to stay fresh and current in your topic. It's the little things sometimes that make a big difference. And remember, it doesn't take long. You might even surprise yourself and develop a new keynote through the tweak. So let's start with your presentation title. Do you have one? Remember, depending on where you're at in your speaking career, you might have several titles or programs in mind. For right now, though, let's just focus on one presentation. Remember, chase only one squirrel at a time. If you do not have a presentation title, think about what your title might be. It will not be set in stone at this point, and it will likely be modified many times depending on the type of group you are speaking to and if they have a conference theme. If you are not sure what presentation title to move forward with, contact me for help. Consider these next tips. Number one, I recommend looking at comparable speakers for your topic and their presentation titles. Study them and take notes. Do not copycat them. Do this only to generate ideas. Number two, find a conference schedule, likely online, of an industry where you would like to speak. Review their previous year's conference and published programs to study the presentation titles that were accepted. This is also helpful when drafting the description, which we will do next. Number three, write out title ideas and show them to a few of your close friends or business acquaintances. Get feedback. Ask me for assistance if needed. If you're a member of my mastermind community, you could also share this with the group for feedback. But remember, always be open to feedback when you ask for it. Number four, presentation titles should sound unique, intriguing, and even somewhat sexy. Think of your presentation title like a book title or a movie. But don't give much away in the title other than plant curiosity for the person to learn more about it while watching you present it. And number five, share titles with me. When you complete this book and earn your coaching call, I will provide feedback as well. Asking for your Speaker One page will be one of the first things I ask you for in advance. Here are some of my most common presentation titles. The Edge Factor. Keys for Winning Success. Millennials and Motivating the Multi-Generational Workforce. Success Leaves Clues, How to Attract, Retain, and Empower Your Employees. As you can see, I have several programs that can be designed as interactive breakout programs or as a signature keynote. Speaker tip, visit my website at kevincsnyder.com for samples of my own program titles and descriptions for my youth, my college, and my professional speaking engagements. As you just heard, I have several main programs that can be designed as both breakout programs or as signature keynotes. In fact, I often send my menu of programs listed on my Speaker One page to those who inquire with me for speaking. I allow them to view all of my presentations and then select which one sounds most appealing and the best fit for their group and/or audience. Besides, they know their industry, group, and attendees better than I do. Once I am informed which title is most appealing to them, then I tailor the title and description to meet their needs and objectives. As you build your speaking business, you'll be able to do this as well. So now is your opportunity to write below the title of your presentation or presentations, or at least write down ideas for a title. You will need to do this on a sheet of paper. You can also do it on the free worksheet that goes along with this book. Take as much time as you need and hit pause. Okay, of those titles and ideas you just drafted, now's your opportunity to write down the single specific title of your signature presentation. There can only be one. This will be our working title for you. Congratulations, we now have your presentation title to work with. Next step is to craft your presentation description. Your description should capture the essence of your presentation and include your purpose, what problem you will solve, and the call to action, module one. We also want your description to sound both catchy and powerful. Similar to your title, envision your presentation being compared to 20 other presentations for the same speaking slot. It likely will be, so make it good. You also want to envision being a conference attendee and comparing your presentation description to others in the same educational session block. What would make your description so appealing that attendees feel they must attend your session instead of someone else's? Keeping these two reference points in mind will help you greatly in writing down your presentation articulately and powerfully. I recommend two different types of presentations, one description under 100 words and another under 150 words. Most call for programs require a description of 100 words or less because word count is based on space available in the conference program or on their website. Moreover, readers should be able to understand your point within 100 words. If you cannot fit your description within 100 words, find someone who will help you edit down, cut content, and make it more concise. Sometimes, though, a longer description might be required. It all depends. Remember, the speaking business is not one size fits all. Be prepared for anything. By having both short and long descriptions available, you can respond more quickly and professionally. Still focusing on one presentation and the title you just created, let's move forward with creating your program description. Start with just writing phrases, one-liners, and sentences that you feel best describe your presentation. Once you accomplish this, begin writing out a description, keeping it at about 120 words for now. We can adjust the length later so that you have one presentation description under 100 words and another under 150 words. What we need now is a good beginning description to work with. Speaker tip: review my tips listed previously on selecting presentation titles to also help you with crafting your program description. You can also view samples of my own descriptions on my website, kevincsnyder.com. In your description, be sure to state a problem or issue, how your presentation will address this issue, and what attendees will learn from your presentation. Your description should reference both the industry and your learning outcomes in some fashion so attendees will know up front what they will take away. Do not rush this process. Most of the speakers I work with take at least a week or two to complete this assignment. Some need longer because they're reflecting on questions I pose to them for Module 1, i.e. the problem to solve, call to action, and story differentiation. Review your program description over and over, tweaking and modifying it until you are satisfied. Have others look at it as well. If you're a member of my mastermind group, share it with them. Contact me for help. You have resources and support all around you. Next is a sample presentation description of my Millennials Motivating the Multigenerational Workforce presentation. A new generation of professionals has emerged, officially becoming the majority workforce demographic. This population, known as Generation Y, or Millennials, is changing how organizations attract, develop, retain, and engage cross-generational employees. Organizations that understand the needs of Millennials will benefit from a more engaged employees and an ability to bridge all generations in their workforce, but also avoid significant costs of rapid employee turnover. In this interactive presentation, you will learn how Millennials have impacted workforce culture, and you'll take away ideas to bridge all the generations in today and tomorrow's workforce culture. As you listen to that description, I hope it becomes clear now how important it is for you to design a presentation description that captures the essence of your program and the problem you'll be helping your audiences solve. So now, using all the space that you need, and using separate sheets if possible, and at least using the exercise worksheet as a resource, begin to write down sample sentences and phrases that will describe your presentation. Take all the time you need, hit pause. Okay, I'm assuming you have written down sample phrases and sentences. Now we will begin to write your draft of the actual presentation under 120 words. Begin that process now. Take all the time you need, hit pause. I do not recommend continuing to the next section until you have a presentation description to work with. Skip back to the previous sections and complete your presentation title and description if you have not yet done so. If you need help, you have resources around you. Contact me for help as well. Now that you have your title and description complete, now we will craft our presentation learning outcomes. Learning outcomes can also be called learning objectives. They are succinct statements. They are succinct statements that describe what the attendees will learn and take away through your presentation. Consider learning outcomes as articulated call-to-action statements. I'm not always asked to provide learning outcomes, but regardless, I always submit them. Having learning outcomes shows the organizer that you are clear on your objectives and action statements. My advice is to have learning outcomes ready. I recommend at least 2 learning outcomes, but no more than 4 per program description. I'll share with you now sample learning outcomes for my Millennials multi-generational program. Number 1, learn about generational perspectives and how to embrace and leverage those unique mentalities. Number 2, discover what isn't being said and written about Millennials that will lead to a new understanding about this new workforce majority and their needs. Number 3, leave with several call to action and next practice strategies for bridging the generations, building workforce synergy. Now is your opportunity to write down 3 or 4 sample learning outcomes for the presentation you selected earlier. What will attendees learn and leave with? Take all the time you need, hit pause. I do not recommend continuing until you have at least 2 learning outcomes. Next segment is your speaker biography. Your speaker biography is extremely important. It must reflect your experience, your credibility, and the impact you have made in the industry or industries you serve. Your speaker biography is not your speaker introduction. Your introduction is what someone reads to introduce you right before speaking. Think of it this way. Your speaker biography is what attendees will read, and your introduction is what attendees will hear. Most speakers are good with drafting a biography, shocker, because they enjoy writing about themselves. However, please be cautious about this. When I read a biography or hear an introduction longer than the actual presentation description, I know I'm going to be listening to someone with a very large ego. It's a turnoff from the very beginning. Focus on the impact you have made more than the work you have done. Throw some humor in there. Be different. Add a fun fact. I have people come up to me all the time inquiring about information they read in my biography or heard in my introduction that had nothing to do with my speech. I learned early on that as long as I include the most relative experiences about my background for the industry I'm speaking to, I should sprinkle some personality on there as well. Here's an example of my speaker biography. Dr. Kevin Snyder is a motivational speaker and author with a passion for helping individuals think differently to create new and innovative results. Kevin has presented for over 1 million people through 1,000 audiences in all 50 states and around the world. Prior to becoming a sought-after speaker, he held a career in university student affairs and most recently served as the Dean of Students for High Point University. Kevin is the author of several books, has sailed around the world, is a certified skydiver, scuba diver, and a winner on the television game show, The Price is Right. Speaker tip, you can read an additional biography and perhaps a more current version on my website, kevincsnyder.com/formeetingplanners. I frequently update and edit my biography. So back to you, keeping your biography under 100 words, now is your opportunity to write your sample biography. Either write in your speaker notebook or on the activity worksheets I've provided. Take all the time you need. Hit pause. Okay, great. Next segment, we will focus on your headshot photo. Your headshot photo can make you appear less than professional or more professional. Which do you think a meeting planner or executive would prefer? You want your photo to represent a professional aura, not a Facebook one. Your headshot is likely going to need to be taken by a professional. If you do have a headshot photo, but it's more than 2 years old, then I recommend getting a new headshot. If you have gained or lost significant weight or have changed your hair color since your last photo, then get a new headshot. If you are missing hair or teeth since your last headshot, then get a new headshot. I'm assuming that you understand my point. Your headshot will make a statement about you while meeting planners consider you and before audiences hear you speak. Make your headshot look professional and please just look like your picture. Headshots do not need to cost a lot of money, if any. Ask around. Post a request on Facebook. Look on Craigslist services. Reach out to your local community college and inquire with their graphics department or faculty who teach photography. Attend a charity silent auction and bid on photography. I attend charity events all the time, and there's always a photographer package someone has donated. You end up winning a professional headshot session for a fraction of the cost, and you help charity. Respectfully, there are photographers everywhere. Talk to an emerging photographer and tell them that you will credit their photography if they provide you with a headshot. For them, it's free marketing. For you, it's a free headshot. Barter. You can view sample headshots of mine at the following link, kevincsnyder.com/formeetingplanners. Although I use my favorite headshot in my outreach and marketing, I refer meeting planners to my website so that they can review several headshot samples and select the specific one they prefer and feels is most appealing for their group. I have found this to be creative and unique. Sometimes they use one headshot for the website and a different one for any email newsletters or anything that goes to print. So answer the following questions. Do you have a current headshot? Yes or no? Would you consider your current headshot to be a professional headshot? Yes or no? If unsure or no, then you need a new one. What will be your plan for obtaining a professional headshot? Congratulations, you have come far. If you have completed all the portions in this module, then you have most of what you would need to speak at a conference or other event. Depending on the event and your speaking fee, which is module 4, you might even have enough for a meeting planner to hire you for speaking. Since you have followed instructions and treated this module like a coaching session with me, I hope you have not allowed yourself to advance until each prior section has been completed. You might be saying to yourself, "Well, I'll come back and finish this later. I want to get through the book first." I understand your desire to get right to the Moneyball module, module 3. However, there are aspects in modules 3, 4, and 5 that will not help you without having completed the foundations for modules 1 and 2. You haven't graduated yet to module 3 if you are still doing homework for module 2. Please just trust me on this. More importantly, trust the process. If any prior sections are not complete, please revisit them now unless you are committed to return and complete them immediately after listening to this book. You'll never be selected to speak at conferences without your presentation, title, description, learning outcomes, and biography. Meeting planners and executives will always ask for this information up front. The next segment of Module 2 is, are you ready for a speaking engagement? No, seriously, are you ready? Is your presentation actually outlined? Do you have a finished presentation PowerPoint or Keynote if you're an Apple user? Have you been practicing and refining your delivery? Have others told you yet how awesome you are speaking? Now that you have your program title, description, learning outcomes, speaker biography, and a headshot, you have much of the needed information to be considered for a speech. Congratulations! But let's assume that you receive an email right this second for a speaking engagement next week. Or perhaps you have a speaker friend who gets sick or has a family emergency last minute and needs you to take their keynote speaking spot tomorrow. Would you be ready to send them your PowerPoint today and present tomorrow? Envision having an $8,500 speech inquiry. Would you truly be ready to speak for an audience of 500 people and feel confident about receiving a standing ovation? Look, I've had last-minute inquiries occur on multiple occasions for a variety of different reasons. I recently flew across country on a day's notice to fill in for another keynote speaker whose mother unfortunately passed away. Because I had the presentation information ready, I was able to take on the speaking engagement. More importantly, because I was truly ready to deliver that presentation, it showed, and I benefited from spin-off referrals and inquiries for additional speaking engagements afterward. Short-term speaker requests are common, especially for conferences and annual events, so having your presentation sincerely ready will position you nicely for paid speaking engagements. Assuming you have your speaker one page complete and your program is ready to be selected for a speaking engagement, whether paid or not, let's focus on the presentation itself, which is your product, because only a polished product will lead to a happy meeting planner, referrals, and spin-off requests for additional speaking engagements. The best marketing for a speaker is to speak, and the only way you will earn future speaking business is by having an outstanding presentation that audiences will remember you for and want more of. Throughout your presentation, you and your content need to be so excellent that attendees will be thinking, "This speaker is amazing. We have to bring them to our insert event." A presentation that does not lead to referrals and spin-off opportunities means something didn't hit home in the actual presentation. Something needs to be worked on, whether it's in presentation delivery, content, organization, or all of the above. Another way of saying it is this: the issue of not getting speaking leads or spin-off business after speaking is either the message, the messenger, or both. Speakers who struggle in their speaking business need to work on their speech most above all. Nothing else really matters if the product needs work. I am frequently asked, "How did your presentation go in blank city?" I respond with, "Think it went pretty well. You should check out my Twitter or Facebook page for some really impressive comments." Or better, I might say, "I woke up to some really cool emails today that make me think it went really well." Or even better, "I got a few speaking inquiries already, so it must have gone pretty well." To help ensure you are truly ready for an upcoming speech opportunity, and most certainly a paid speaking engagement, I have created a speech review form that others watching you speak can complete and provide constructive feedback for you. You can download your copy at paidtospeak.biz/worksheets. And remember, the password is paidtospeak. My speech review form is based on science, public speaking instruction, and modeled after the judging rubric from the Toastmasters International Speech Contest. If you are feeling confident and ready for a speech, then wonderful. But until others actually watch you in action and provide consistent written and verbal feedback that you are indeed ready, you're not ready yet, respectfully. From my experience watching hundreds, if not thousands, of other speakers, even well-paid professionals at conferences and other types of speaking engagements, most speakers are not as ready as they think they are. It should be no surprise then why their speaking business suffers. You cannot wing it or fake it till you make it on stage in front of a live audience for 60 minutes. Anyone who thinks they can doesn't have a clue. Professional speakers don't approach a speaking business this way. The majority of speakers I coach are not nearly as ready as they think they are, but that's okay because they usually know it and are asking for my feedback. They're coachable. They want to grow and improve. It's interesting that the more experience someone has, the less likely they are coachable. So if you are new to speaking or still in the developing stages of building your speaking business, you have an advantage over someone with more speaking experience as long as you are coachable and willing to receive feedback. After my coaching clients share a sample video of them speaking with me, a coaching benefit I provide, I watch their entire video and provide feedback on the speech review form. As a thank you for purchasing this book, you can receive the same form as well. For me personally too, I would much rather know the areas I need to work on before launching myself into the next speech and struggle. There's no greater pain than the feeling you are bombing a speech in the front of a live audience. I've had this experience, and every speaker I know has encountered it as well. To prevent those scenarios ever happening again, I created my speech review form to get feedback for myself when I was practicing new speech content. I still use it too when I'm practicing a new content piece. As you'll hear later in this module, there are many opportunities to find and create free speaking engagements to practice your speech. During those free engagements, you should be getting feedback from those watching you through some type of evaluation. I recommend giving certain audience members a copy of my speech review form and asking them to complete it for you, because I guarantee it will provide you the feedback you need to improve your speech and take it to the next level. Again, download your copy at paidtospeak.biz/worksheets. Now I will help you actually design your presentation so that it includes all the important speech elements and helps you grow your speaking business. As you heard in Module 1, the elements of an incredibly powerful presentation are engagement, a powerful message, a memorable story, and a call to action. Each ingredient matters and provides its own secret sauce for an amazing speaking recipe. If anything is missing, the finished product won't have the flavor it needs. However, these elements are somewhat conceptual. What does audience engagement actually look like? How is a powerful message within the presentation outline actually structured? What should you include? How do you time your presentation? How can you add humor? Your presentation must be organized and crafted like a heartbeat. If it doesn't have a heartbeat, it's dead. You must organize the content, what I call the puzzle pieces, around the big picture emotions, sensations, and interactive components that take your audience participants on an emotional and engaging ride up and down. Aspire to design your speech the way master engineers design a roller coaster. This will keep the audience's attention regardless of the time frame of your speech. You will need to incorporate audience laughter, empathy, lecture, interaction, listening portions, watching portions, and more. Your presentation should be organized to engage and connect with different personalities and various senses of perception, auditory, visual, kinesthetic. Just do not make them smell you. As you design your presentation, ask yourself these questions. How am I going to be introduced? How am I going to raise the energy immediately at the beginning? How am I going to intrigue them to listen to me? When are they laughing? When are they going to be emotional? When will they be moving? When are they being reflective and writing something down? When are they sharing with the person next to them? When are they watching? When are they listening? How do I get them to visit my website and subscribe? How am I planting seeds during my presentation so they know I travel to speak? How am I going to close my presentation to get that standing ovation? I created a speaker storyboard to help me outline my presentations and ensure all the above questions are answered. Similar to how I outlined my course syllabi when I taught at the university, this storyboard instructional design process has proven to be extremely effective in my speaking business as well. Even successful speakers who hear about my storyboard model ask me to share it with them so they can make it their own. Note, I refer them to the vault. I do not give away this for free because it is such a valuable resource that took me years to create and craft. However, I do provide it to my coaching clients, and I'm providing a sample of it for you as well. Not only does my speaker storyboard help me organize and outline a speech, but it also ensures I vary my delivery techniques to maximize audience interaction and keeping their attention and focus. The average person's attention span is less than 10 seconds. So as speakers, we need to keep this in mind. If I keep talking without any interaction, laughter, or empathy, I'm going to lose my audience. Or if I show too much video or have too much audience reflection, I'm going to lose my audience. A proper speech heartbeat ensures I do not lose them. My speaker storyboard ensures I keep them. I will share with you one of my completed speaker storyboards to demonstrate how the heartbeat concept works so that you can outline your own presentation, ensuring that it includes all the necessary elements. You can review my completed version at paidtospeak.biz/worksheets. And once again, remember, the password is paid to speak. Now, if you have looked at that storyboard, you likely do not understand the content or descriptors. That's okay. You should not understand them because that's not your content. It's mine. But if you watched me speak, you would easily be able to follow along. I've uploaded several videos of my keynote presentations on my speaking website at kevincsnyder.com/demo videos. I encourage you to visit, watch, and follow along with the storyboard sample I provided for you. By writing my presentation down on my speaking storyboard, I ensure I have a clear mental picture for how everything should be organized. This also ensures I diversify my audience actions and emotions to ensure that heartbeat I mentioned earlier is crafted. What I encourage you to focus on are the speaking mechanics and how to ensure the puzzle pieces of content vary in approach. Within the first 60 seconds of your presentation, your audience has already decided if they like you and will pay attention for the remaining portion. Do what is necessary for them to be thinking, "Wow, this speaker is amazing, funny, inspiring, different." Otherwise, they will already be checking their phone and perhaps their pulse, and you will have lost them. The likability factor is imperative with any audience, and you must ensure this up front. They likely have just come from another speaker they did not like for this exact reason. The first few minutes of my presentations are simply fun and engaging. I designed my speech beginnings to create immediate laughter and to set an energetic tone. We have plenty of time for content. My style is to get them to clapping and singing "Don't Stop Believin'" as soon as possible. Again, observe sample demo videos on my website, kevincsnyder.com. The point is to be likable and immediately engaging. I have reviewed presentation outlines from other speakers and find it extremely evident they lack organization and emotional variety. Unfortunately, it's even more evident when they are on stage. Boring. I recently asked one of my speaker coaching clients to send me their speaking storyboard outline so that I could review their speech organization for an upcoming speech. They confidently replied, "I already have my own outline, see attached." Uh-oh, I thought. They think they are ready. When I reviewed their outline, it looked like a monologue. I thought to myself, how in the world can they remember this content? More importantly, how do they expect to engage an audience? Where are they not talking about themselves? I then asked them to show me specifically where in their outline the attendees would be laughing, doing something interactive, being reflective, watching or listening to a video or music. The response I received was silence. I kept my feedback constructive, but we had a lot to work on. They were not ready for that upcoming speech. The fact they thought they were ready concerned me even more. If I were an audience member, their likability would be zero. So I shared my speech review form with them and asked them to evaluate their own speech. I also recommended they present a portion of their speech at an upcoming Toastmaster Club meeting and asked for feedback using the same form. Once they did this, they called me almost in tears. "What do we do?" they asked. "Well, what do you think we should do?" I responded. After some discussion back and forth, I was finally able to lead them where they needed to be in understanding how to effectively design a presentation. They outlined their presentation using my speaker storyboard and sent the updated presentation to me a few days later. It looked completely different and fantastic. "How do you feel about your presentation now?" I asked. "I feel great. It feels like a completely different presentation. I'm so much more confident in it now, and I cannot wait to present it." "Outstanding," I responded. "And because I know you will continue practicing, you'll do just fine. Let me know how your presentation goes, okay?" During our next coaching call about 2 weeks later, they told me the presentation went extremely well. "I still have some things to work on that I need your help with, but overall I'm pleased. And more importantly, the group that brought me in to speak was happy. They want me to come back next year." "Congratulations," I said. "Just remember to follow the process by using that speaker storyboard for each of your presentations. There's nothing else like it, and it'll help you grow your speaking business." "Thank you, Kevin." Speaker tip: always remember that the best marketing for a speaker is a great speech. If you have a presentation coming up and you'd like my help to outline it with you or provide feedback, simply reach out to me for a coaching call. I'm glad to help. Your next presentation should lead to more speaking opportunities if designed effectively. As you develop your presentation outline, you must ensure your audience quickly knows where you are taking them. Once you are likable and have set a positive tone, make sure you are addressing the problem or challenge that you will be helping the audience member solve up front. Tell them what you will be telling them. Tell them how you will help and why it is important. Otherwise, they might begin to wonder what your point is and why you are speaking. And once they begin to wonder, they begin to wander. It is tough, if not nearly impossible, to get an audience back after you've lost them. Another reason to appeal to a variety of senses and keep them engaged from beginning to end. Remember, you are there to help them solve a problem whether they know what that is yet or not. Some attendees, if not most, might be sitting in that chair listening to you because they are required to attend or they are receiving professional development credit in some form. Even for those folks who are just there for themselves, still appeal to a variety of senses and pull them in. Everyone has challenges they face personally and professionally. Drop a statistic. Know their industry and share a relevant story. And once you tell them your message, triple down and tell them what you just told them. Anchor your points well and your call to action even stronger. Now that you have seen what my storyboard looks like, it is crucial that you create your own. You can view and download both my completed version and a blank version by visiting paytospeak.biz worksheets. If you have subscribed to the Vault, then you also have access to the Speaker Storyboard Word template. For more information, visit paytospeak.biz/thevault. Note: I do not recommend continuing until you have drafted your presentation storyboard. Your presentation is your product and one of the most important aspects of your entire speaking business. Spend as much time on this as you need. This is where most speakers struggle. Don't feel alone. Contact me for help and don't get stuck here. Assuming you have your storyboard complete, congratulations. Now we will focus on how your presentation actually looks like, the presentation aesthetics. What does your presentation actually look like? Are you using Keynote for Apple or PowerPoint if you're Microsoft? Or are you speaking with just a microphone? If you are using anything visual, please have someone review your slides before you incorporate them into your presentation. When you complete this book and earn your coaching call, I would be happy to review your presentation slide deck and share feedback with you. To help you know what professional slides should look like, I've uploaded a few slide deck samples from one of my presentations at paytospeak.biz/worksheets. I encourage you to observe my slide designs. Also, members of the Vault receive actual PowerPoint samples from several of my programs as well. I constantly see horrible presentation slide designs. I speak at dozens of conferences each year and am able to watch hundreds of other speakers. From the hundreds of presentations I see, roughly 80% of them look poorly designed and need quite a bit of work. I do not design presentations for my coaching clients, but I would be happy to refer people to you who do. Your investment in having someone help you will be priceless. An attendee knows when you put something together last minute or if it's done unskillfully. That attendee could have been your next speaking lead. The conference organizer or meeting planner is also someone you need to impress. They likely hold the gate key for additional presentations. Any audiovisual that you use should complement your speaking in the overall presentation. Anything coming out of your mouth should be viewed on the screen in a different way. Absolutely no bullet points. Your font size for all text should at least be 30. When possible, show pictures rather than words. No more than 20 words per slide. If you don't adhere to these recommendations, your attendees will be squinting trying to read your slides and not listening to you. Do you really want them not paying attention to you and staring at a screen? Of course not. View some of my presentation slides for samples of my own work. I am commonly told my slides are engaging and visually appealing. I aim for pictures that portray the story I am sharing. It helps me and the attendee both. I also weave in 2 or 3 videos, add some music here and there, and just keep it lively and fun. However, I am fully prepared to do my keynote presentation without visuals should my PowerPoint not be available. Here's a personal example. A few years ago, I showed up to deliver a keynote presentation and was told that their entire audio-visual system was down. All they had for me were 2 handheld microphones. Prior to my arrival, and confirmed through 2 pre-event conversations, plus my contract and email communication, I was ensured that they would meet my AV request, which included 2 projectors, 2 large screens, and house sound for my interactive PowerPoint. Upon hearing that nothing was working, I immediately had to adjust my content and plan for the worst. I couldn't even share my video of winning on The Price is Right, my signature video. Well, I didn't feel bad for me. I felt bad for the attendees and even more for the conference planner. The fact nothing worked looked bad on them. The fact nothing worked looked bad on the planner. Always be prepared in case your technology does not work. Expect it to fail and have a backup plan. It would have been a disaster if I wasn't prepared to present my program without any audiovisual. If I had not already envisioned something not working, which I do before every speech, then I would have looked like a chump on that stage with 1,000+ attendees in the audience. After my presentation, the representative for the audiovisual company approached me with a handshake and a smile. The conference organizer was standing beside them as well. The representative said to me, "Of all the speakers I've ever seen, you have been the most engaging, even without the AV working. Best speaker I've seen. Good job today." My heart smiled. This experience was a test, and luckily I passed. But it was not luck. I prepared for it. Technology problems occur frequently. Speaker tip: before every presentation, always ask yourself what could go wrong. Vision the worst, expect the worst, plan for the worst so that you're not surprised when it does happen, because it will at some point. As Steve Jobs has quoted, people who know their content don't need PowerPoint. Please, for the sake of the professional speaking business, know your speech. At some point in your speaking career, the projector will die. The computer will freeze up. Your remote clicker will not respond to you. And your projector, which was supposed to be there, never showed up. Every single one of these situations has happened to me, and on multiple occasions. Remember, I've spoken for over 1,000 audiences all around the world. Something goes wrong in most every speech, actually. But the professional speaker adapts to it quickly, even in the moment, so that the audience doesn't even notice, and the meeting planner is impressed. It's like skydiving. After so many jumps, your parachute eventually will not open, and you will have to cut the cord to pull the reserve. Not fun. That's why I stopped skydiving after 12 jumps. Always be prepared for the worst case scenario. With speaking, you want to minimize the equipment and materials you need, especially starting off. This is a challenge for me because I like using props and other types of tangible items to connect with my audience. If you have watched my videos or seen me speak live, you've likely even watched me jump on stage holding up my Price is Right prizes as the audience is watching me win them on the screen. When I do this, the audience erupts in laughter. It's actually pretty hilarious and something people remember me for a long time. It requires me taking along an extra suitcase, though. Not a big deal, but I'm usually bringing another suitcase with me to sell books, emergency AV cords, handouts, business cards, my tripod or two, my video camera, and possibly a few more items. It can end up being a lot of stuff. So when I do show up, I show up early and bring everything in before anyone sees me carting two or three suitcases with me. For you right now, though, my recommendation would be to focus on your content, not your props. When you need your slides and are glaring at them, unsure of what slide is coming next, it more than shows. It suggests you are not professional and you do not know your own content. So never rely on PowerPoint or whatever medium you're using. If you need notes to speak, why? In that case, what you really need is simply more practice. Speaker tip: the only times I am nervous before speaking are when I feel unprepared. The more I have prepared for that specific presentation, the more confident I feel. When you are speaking to a variety of different groups and industries, this is a challenge. However, as you'll hear in Module 3, having a specific target audience minimizes this from happening. If you are getting paid thousands of dollars to speak, or want to, the expectation is that you are an expert in your topic and that you know your stuff. Makes sense, right? Well, common sense isn't so common sometimes. I have watched speakers use notes, literally read content from slides verbatim, and then blame technology when something didn't work right. It's painful to watch, and not only does it look extremely unprofessional, that speaker will never, ever get repeat or spin-off speaking business. If you need notes at this point in your speaking journey, I understand. But that also means, with all due respect, that you're not yet ready for a paying gig, or at least an upper pay tier speech yet. However, I'm here to help you get ready. Perhaps you just need some tweaking in your outline, or you need some help with your slides, or you just simply need some practice opportunities. Contact me and I can help and explain more. Moreover, I also believe in what we attract from the universe. When you are ready because you have outlined your presentation and you've practiced it numerous times and you're always getting great feedback, you show the universe that you are ready. When you don't need notes and you have practiced enough, an opportunity will come your way when least expected. You cannot fake professional speaking. You will get referrals because you are an incredible speaker with a well-prepared speech that has specific thought leading points. Before moving to the next section, now you must begin to create your actual presentation and consider using Keynote or PowerPoint or some other technology. You must plan on investing several hours of research and design on creating your presentation. Contact me for help. And as a reminder, if you have subscribed to The Vault, then you have access to several of my PowerPoint slide decks to use as reference. Don't do this part alone. Okay, great. Assuming that you have your presentation draft at least, now we can help focus on the next segment, which is practice opportunities. As Tony Robbins, another mentor of mine, is quoted by saying, "Repetition is the mother of skill." Let's assume that you've crafted a really good speaker storyboard outline, your presentation slides have been reviewed by me or someone else with legitimate design experience, and you are ready to give your presentation to a live audience. Where can you practice? What you do not want is to practice on a group that could actually book you as a speaker. Even a Rotary group, who, by the way, books speakers each week, is not a group to practice on. You want to speak to them once you are ready to launch. Even though they do not pay speakers, Rotary group members are business leaders who pay a decent chunk of money to be a member. Your community is different than mine. You know your area best and are aware of resources available. I can help you identify more opportunities when you reach out to me for your complimentary coaching call, but consider these next following groups and resources to practice your speaking. Toastmasters. Most clubs meet weekly, and there are likely over a dozen different groups within a 20-mile radius from you meeting every day during all sorts of times. Start with one group and then consider joining two or three other clubs so you have several speaking opportunities each week. I joined four clubs when I first started speaking. And I am still a member of Toastmasters. In fact, I earned my DTM, which is the Distinguished Toastmaster Award, not too long ago. I also visit other clubs as a guest speaker when I travel for speaking engagements sometimes. On some weeks, I cannot attend my club due to travels, but I try to attend most meetings as often as possible. Toastmaster clubs are incredible groups that support speaker development, and they will help you improve your speech. If you are not a member, you should be to take advantage of practice opportunities and surround yourself with other like-minded people who want to grow and improve their speaking. To find a club near you, visit toastmasters.org/find a club. Meetup groups. Check out meetup.com and search for groups related to speaking, leadership, and networking. Just search and you'll find a variety of opportunities. Often there are events where you can offer yourself as a free pro bono speaker. I've done this and it works. Networking groups and seminars. Do a Google search for groups. Contact your local chamber of commerce. Look on Eventbrite. Just explore. You will find opportunities to speak and meet others who speak as well. Facebook and friend inquiries. Ask for referrals where you live. Ask friends you know if you could provide some free training for their company or any group they are involved. Post about your speaking development on Facebook and offer yourself for a free workshop. If you live in an apartment community, reserve the clubhouse, offer free food, and invite anyone you know. Call people to make it happen. Cast wide nets. Cast deep nets. Do anything to make it happen and find speaking opportunities to practice in front of a live audience. No excuses. When you do find or create a practice opportunity to speak, maximize what you can glean from it. Videotape yourself and study the video. Audio record yourself and listen. If your video and audio is really good and professional quality, you could even use it in your marketing or edit it as a demo video. Count your ahs and ums. Count how many laughs you receive. Practice new content. Study your vocal inflection, your movements, and body language. Also, ask for feedback when you do speak. Request that the audience complete your speaker review form or create your own evaluation form and ask questions specific to the type of feedback you're looking for. Get testimonials. Get pictures. Plus, the groups you do speak to, even for free, are now part of your client summary. The only two people who know whether you got paid to speak or not are you and the person who brought you in to speak. It's no one else's business, and frankly, they won't care. The only reason they should care about your speaking fee is because your speech ends up being so incredible that they ask you to speak for a different group they had in mind. When I was preparing for a keynote presentation once, I leveraged all those above resources I just shared with you to practice new content, try out a new delivery style, and hear feedback from those in the room. I videotape myself and critique myself harshly. I also watch the video on mute to study my body language, and I listen to just the audio of my presentation without watching. It is amazing to hear communication that does not exist. If you have never watched yourself on video without having audio, give it a try. You might need a stiff drink afterwards. I did. I also asked each attendee to provide feedback on my speaker review form and share what they enjoyed most, what they felt was best, what they felt could have been improved, and what could have been omitted. The feedback I received was priceless. Months later, when I delivered that keynote presentation at a direct marketing conference of over 2,000 attendees, I nailed it. I had both the confidence and content that made my keynote a winning speech. And as a result, I received numerous spin-off inquiries and paid speaking engagements. So now's your opportunity to list the local resources where you can find speaking engagements to practice your content. Take as much time as you need to reflect. Write down in your speaker notebook or use the worksheets I provided for you. Take as much time as you need. Hit pause. Module 2 review. In this module, I have described the importance of the following: your speaker one page, including your presentation title, description, learning outcomes, speaker biography, and headshot picture. The speech review form to help you receive helpful and constructive feedback. Creating your speech outline using the speaker storyboard. Having your actual presentation designed properly. And also practice group opportunities. This was a chunk of a module. Do not let it feel overwhelming or intimidating. Of all the modules, this one is the most important because it lays the foundation to your product, which is your presentation. Nothing else really matters beyond this module if your product needs work. If you'd like for me to review your materials or help you design your speech or your actual presentation, I do provide speaker assessments and coaching calls to review your work and talk through these issues to create your final product. I'm here to help as a resource. If you have completed all the reflective questions to your own satisfaction, then congratulations, you are ready for Module 3. However, if any portions are missing, I highly recommend you go back and complete them now. You will not be following this pay-to-speak system by speeding through the book. Coach yourself to be sure that you are ready for Module 3. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it again?